Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, December 19th. Counting jobs lost. Updated report finds upstream job loss worse than believed. The story was written by Miller McEwen. As bad as the job loss in the oil and gas industry has been in 2020, new figures show losses were worse than originally thought. More than 80,000 jobs were lost from December 2018 through August of 2020, up from nearly 70,000 jobs originally thought lost during that time, according to updated estimates from the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas and the Texas Alliance of Energy Producers. In addition, about 60,000 of those jobs were lost from February to August of this year, up from the original 50,000 jobs reported earlier. That is about 30% of the 35% of all upstream jobs lost since December 2018, said Carr Ingham, petroleum economist for the Alliance. Quote, "We were already tracking tens of thousands of job losses through 2020, but it began before that," Ingham said in a phone interview. He said upstream employment peaked in December 2018 at about 228,000 jobs, and has been on the decline since, largely in support activities, which includes service and drilling company jobs. That tracks with the monthly oil field services and equipment employment report issued by the Petroleum Equipment and Services Association. The association, using Bureau of Labor Statistics data and consulting with researchers at the Hobby School of Public Affairs at the University of Houston, estimates that industry-wide oil field service sector jobs fell from 757,000 in February to 665,000 in November, a decline of 12.1%. The heaviest job losses were in April, with a loss of 58,000 jobs, the largest one-month total since at least 2013, according to the association. The good news is that job losses appear to have reached a trough in August, and 1,500 jobs have been added back in Texas through October, Ingham said. Quote, "Even though what we've added back is a pittance, 1,500 out of 80,000 jobs lost, we are adding jobs back a handful at a time," he said. The association said oil field services and equipment sector employment rose by 2,600 jobs in November. This is the third consecutive monthly increase, following 1,498 jobs added in September and 5,000 jobs added in October. That brings the total to 9,200 jobs added over the last 3 months. This compares to the loss of 100,000 jobs due to the pandemic. Quote, "I anticipate oil field employment to increase next year as companies boost production to reach rising demand," Kevin Broom, Director of Communications and Research at Petroleum Equipment and Services Association, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Quote, "The coronavirus vaccines give hope that we're nearing the end of the pandemic and will be able to live more normal lives," end quote. Ingham said it would be a long climb back to the level seen in December 2018 if those levels are ever reached again. He said technological advances and improved efficiency were responsible for the decline in employment beginning in 2019, as operators discovered they could produce more oil and natural gas with fewer workers. Quote, "In a growing economy, the sector will continue to add jobs, but the share of upstream employment will probably continue to fall, Ingham said. Environmental Partnership adds program to address flaring. The story was written by Mela McEwen. Even as the energy industry was undergoing a significant contraction, the Environmental Partnership remained in expansion mode. As the partnership celebrated its third anniversary, it has tripled in size from the original 24 members to 82, added midstream operators, and doubled the number of performance programs it offers. The partnership's newest program, launched this week, focuses on flare management. Quote, "This expands on our mission to share best practices and fostering collaboration to reduce emissions," Vanessa Ryan, manager of the carbon reduction team at Chevron and chair of the partnership, told the reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. The partnership's members, who range from small operators with just a few wells to large multinational corporations, shared the public's concerns that flaring must be reduced, she said. Matthew Todd, director of the partnership, said, quote, "Companies participating in the partnership recognize the need to take steps to further reduce flaring. They're already taking steps to minimize or prevent associated gas flaring. We're trying to build on their efforts," end quote. Under this program, member companies, including Midland's Contra Resources and Diamondback Energy, will help gauge annual progress by reporting data to calculate flare intensity. The program will then analyze and aggregate that data for its annual report and use insights from participating companies' combined actions and reporting to better understand and identify additional opportunities to further reduce flaring. Todd said key components of the program will be to promote pre-production planning to ensure takeaway infrastructure is in place before wells are put on production, to evaluate unplanned flaring events for contributing factors and steps taken to mitigate their reoccurrence, and increased monitoring to ensure flares are operating properly and to promote adoption of high-efficiency flares. Another vital component is advancing technology to utilize that gas rather than flaring it, whether it's compressing it for use as a fuel, converting it to liquefied natural gas for use, extracting the natural gas liquids before combustion, using the gas to power small-scale power generators, or reinjecting the gas into formations for enhanced oil recovery. Quote, "The key piece is collaboration," said Ryan. She said her company, quote, "feels good about what we're doing in the Permian Basin, but we can learn. We've shared a journey and what we've learned, and we hope it's valuable to others. This is an opportunity to share best practices and learn from others," end quote. There has been a significant effort underway to reduce flaring and venting over the last decade, an effort that has picked up steam in the last 5 years, said Todd. Quote, "It builds and builds as companies work to drive down emissions and improve operations," he said. "Smart regulations, combined with voluntary efforts by the industry, is the proper way to reduce emissions," end quote. Despite the challenges the industry has faced this year, he said, quote, "Hopefully the public can see the industry is committed to addressing emissions," end quote. S&P Global Platts urges caution for energy companies in 2021. The story was written by Mela McEwen. Recent developments in energy markets had analysts at S&P Global Platts Analytics updating their outlook for 2021, discussed in a recent online media call. Quote, "We have a world optimistic about the COVID-19 vaccine, but we believe the worst is yet to come before it gets better," Chris Midgley, head of analytics, said. quote, "People are not flying, they're not using their cars. We think the drag on the markets is greater on oil and gas and power," end quote. Mitchley said industry demand is recovering, led by rising demand, quote, "connected to our thermostats since more people are working from home, and as the weather gets cold, heating demand goes up," end quote. Crude prices are approaching $50, and Mitchley attributed that rise more to market sentiment about the vaccine and resulting economic growth than to market fundamentals. Quote, "Fundamentals on the oil side are bearish because of the huge amounts of stocks built up," he said. "Oil demand will recover 6 million barrels a day of its loss," he said, "but will still be 2 million barrels below 2019 levels. Recovery in demand for jet fuel will be slow." While some believe oil production cuts and less capital spent on drilling will drive prices up, quote, "the market recognizes that for the long term, lower prices are okay to sustain production," end quote. He said prices will struggle in the first half of 2021 as continued economic shutdowns through next March and April to control the pandemic weigh on demand. He says he doesn't see fundamentals supporting oil prices higher than $50 a barrel. Quote, "there's a lot of supply headwind at $50 to $51, he said. "If you were happy to hedge at $43, you should definitely hedge now," end quote. U.S. shale production is expected to fall another million barrels a day and will continue to falter until mid-2021 and then begin recovery, he said. He forecast that U.S. shale production will exit 2021 with production levels about the same as the end of this year. "The Permian has been resilient," Mitchley said, "but could be impacted by a possible Biden administration moratorium on leasing on federal lands, drilling on federal lands, or hydraulic fracturing on federal lands, particularly in the New Mexico portion of the Delaware Basin." As global demand recovers, he said there will be more reliance on oil supplies from the Middle East and members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, he said. That could mean greater risks and political risks that could lead to oil price spikes, he said. Overhanging all of that, though, is the focus on energy transition. Dan Klein, head of scenario planning, pointed to the various announcements about energy transition and reaching carbon neutrality by 2050. "The question is whether those announcements will go from rhetoric to action," he said. Quote, "we're getting to the time of having press releases with an aspirational nature to how we are going to get there," he said. "The coming year," quote, "will be a very important year when it comes to some of these policies moving from aspiration to the physics of action," end quote. Klein noted China's announcement that it will be carbon neutral by 2050 and the European Union's tightening of midterm carbon goals and promotion of electric vehicles. In moving from aspiration to action, he said the question is, quote, "is there a willingness to pay for it, especially in these challenging times when budgets are strained? Look at a city buying a new bus. An electric bus has lower cost to run over its lifetime, but you have to pay for it up front," end quote. To achieve some of these stated carbon neutral goals, he said fleets would have to be turned over and home boilers replaced, a process that takes decades because vehicles and heating and cooling equipment are made to last longer. While taxing entities may be willing to pay, he said consumers must be willing to pay for clean energy as well. Quote, "when the real world costs hit, that's when you can see protests, especially when people are going through a very difficult year on a number of fronts. Paying more for clean energy in a few years may be questionable, Klein said. Texas Petro Index still down. Turnaround is coming. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Things are looking a bit brighter for the Texas energy industry, but economic measurements continue to show an industry in decline. The October Texas Petro Index declined from 144 in September to 139.9 in October, posting its 20th consecutive decline. It is down nearly 29% from the October 2019 index. Quote, recovery is on the offing, but the index is still declining, said Carr Ingham, the petroleum economist who prepares the index for the Texas Alliance of Energy Producers. In a telephone interview with the Reporter Telegram, Ingham said the index could begin to rise in the next 2 to 3 months, buoyed by improved commodity prices, a rising rig count, and a few more upstream jobs being created. Quote, a turnaround is coming. I hope it's with the November numbers of December numbers, he said. Ingham said the index had been on the decline before the COVID-19 pandemic shut down economies around the globe, resulting in historic oil demand destruction. The pandemic caused the index to decline a lot faster, he said. It reflects the sharp declines in the rig count, employment, and drilling permits, which are, quote, nowhere near where they were even in early 2020, end quote. Through October, the index has lost nearly 35% of its value since its recent peak of 213.8 achieved in February 2019. The TPI has declined by some 26% just since February of this year. Quote, the question is how long will it be before the Texas Petro Index gets back to where it was in February 2019, its most recent cyclical peak, Ingham said. Continuing the quote, through October, it's still off 35% compared to that February 2019 peak, and I'm not sure it has bottomed out yet. We could be pleasantly surprised, have a COVID-19 vaccine, oil demand gets back to its pre-pandemic levels. We're not investing much in new drilling. An upward curve in demand and a downward curve in supplies could combine to push prices up in a hurry, end quote. The market, quote, has the understanding the promise of a widespread vaccine is a good thing for energy demand, he said. Normal life seems to hinge on a vaccine, end quote. Findings from the October 2020 Texas Petro Index analysis. Crude oil posted prices averaged $35.42 in October, down by 30% compared to the October 2019 monthly average. Posted crude oil prices in April, the worst of the pandemic prices, averaged $14.68 per barrel. The recent cyclical peak in crude oil pricing was achieved 2 years ago, with posted prices averaging over $67 a barrel in October 2018. The statewide Baker Hughes rig count averaged 122 in October, up from 108 in September, but down by 71% compared to the October 2019 average of 419, and down by 77% compared to the 533 rigs on average in October 2018. 5,427 original drilling permits were issued by the Texas Railroad Commission in the first 10 months of the year, a decline of more than 45% compared to the total through October 2019. Estimated daily crude oil production in Texas was just under 4.6 million barrels per day in October, down from 4.63 million barrels per day in September, and a peak of 5.4 million barrels per day in March of this year. daily production fell by more than 1 million barrels per day between March and May. An estimated 149,800 employees were on the payrolls of upstream oil and gas companies in Texas, operating producing companies, service companies, and drilling companies, a decline of more than 30% compared to the October 2019 industry employment estimate. Quote, support activities jobs, service and drilling companies are down by nearly 43% compared to year-ago levels.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, December 20th, 2020. Meet Your New Energy Secretary by Dennis Elam, Associate Professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. Solyndra received more than $500 million from taxpayers through the Obama administration massive stimulus bill in 2009 and filed for bankruptcy in 2011. On Friday, the Wall Street Journal's editorial board wrote about another failure from the Obama era, this one costing taxpayers as much as $510 million. The company, Tonopah Solar Energy, operated the Crescent Dunes Solar Plant in Nevada, which received $737 million in guaranteed loans during the Obama administration. Tonopah was granted a Chapter 11 bankruptcy plan in early December. A quote from the Daily Wire, December 14, 2020. President-elect Joe Biden plans to nominate former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm as his energy secretary. Your reliable reporter dug into her background and files this report. She graduated from the University of California at Berkeley, Harvard West, with a BA in political science and French. You were expecting chemical engineering? She received a law degree from that West Texas favorite, Harvard, in 1987. She worked in the Michael Dukakis presidential 1988 campaign. She became Attorney General of Michigan, 1988. She served as Governor of Michigan from 2003 to 2011. Her popularity dropped to 32% by December 2007 after a series of tax increases. She returned to Berkeley to teach law in 2011, and then, with no more qualification than being a clean energy advocate, she was named to the Berkeley Energy and Climate Institute, tagline, "We Hate Big Oil," and became a project scientist at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. She later served on the board of Dow Chemical. The amazing thing is just how many additional environmental posts that exist. Former Mayor Pete Buttigieg will be Transportation Secretary. Experience? Former EPA Chief Gina McCarthy will be Leader of Domestic Climate Efforts. McCarthy will be the domestic counterpart to John Kerry, who served in Vietnam as International Special Climate Envoy. Do you suppose there will be any jealousy over such similar positions? This quote from AOC is all West Texans need to know. I'm over the moon right now, seeing impetus for her impossibly expensive Green New Deal. Again, much of this will hinge on the outcome of the two Senate seats in Georgia. The stock market is hitting new highs. The summation index, https://professorelam.typepad.com/markets/, is topping but has not turned down. This suggests the market may hold up past inauguration in late January. Crude oil prices have almost made it to $50. but I don't have much hope for crude prices once the climate change team starts moving fast, as the headlines put it. The Economist by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. It just makes sense. If there was a way for Texas to expand health insurance coverage to nearly a million of the state's most vulnerable people, enhancing their access to needed care, I think we can all agree that would be a very good thing. State budget constraints are a reality, but if the expansion could be accomplished without costing taxpayers anything, it would clearly be the right choice. What if Texas could increase coverage and actually come out ahead for taxpayers because of the substantial economic benefits? It would only make sense to do so, right? Texas is one of only 12 states that have not yet chosen to expand health insurance coverage to low-income adults using the financially attractive mechanism created by the Affordable Care Act, ACA, in 2010. In addition to enhancing the health and well-being of individuals directly affected, broadening coverage involves substantial business stimulus and tax revenues. With more Texans having insurance, health-related spending would increase, generating additional business activity in communities across the state and throughout the economy. The level of uncompensated care could also be expected to fall, freeing up hospital and local taxing entity resources to be used for other critical priorities. This result is particularly beneficial to urban public hospitals and critical to the sustainability of rural care. In addition, increased coverage assists more people in obtaining the care that they need, improving morbidity and mortality outcomes, and in turn increasing productivity, which provides additional economic activity and other benefits, some of which occur over an extended period. We recently studied this issue in detail. You can download the full report at www.perrymangroup.com. We found that if Texas implements a program to access federal matching funds for health insurance expansion in 2021, the economic effects for the 2022-23 biennium would include gains of $45.3 billion in gross product, $29.4 billion in personal income, and almost 461,700 job years of employment, including multiplier effects. These benefits increase over time. This economic activity would also generate tax receipts. The Perryman Group estimates that the net total dynamic fiscal benefits during the 2022-23 biennium would include $2.5 billion to the state and nearly $2.0 billion to local government entities across Texas. For every $1 of non-federal funds invested, $1.95 is returned to the state in dynamic tax revenue. Millions of Texans do not have health insurance. Most cannot afford private insurance and are often unable to obtain basic or preventative health care. It is a human tragedy with profound consequences. Texas could alleviate a substantial portion of this problem by expanding health insurance coverage using available federal funds while reaping notable economic and fiscal gains in the process. It just makes sense. Stay safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 32 and clear. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the mid-40s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, December 20th, 2020. Life and Times. Medical Matters. What's keeping you up at night? Dr. Joshua Levinger. Is your snoring loud enough to be heard through closed doors? Do you feel tired, fatigued, or sleepy during the day? Do you nod off at stoplights or during conversations? Has anyone seen you stop breathing, choke, or gasp while sleeping? Do you have high blood pressure? Are you overweight? Is your shirt collar 16 inches or larger? Are you male? Are you 50 years of age or older? If you answered yes to three or more of these questions, then you could be at high risk for something called obstructive sleep apnea, or OSA. OSA happens when the throat collapses during sleep and your breathing is reduced, partially or completely, at intermittent intervals throughout the night. Sleep is so important because it affects every aspect of your life,